Hi, this is Scott Stanley with DTG Ministries, experiencing, searching the deep things of God, which we've seen in the other podcast and in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that God reveals the deep things of himself through his Spirit. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God's prepared for those who love him, but he reveals them to us through his Spirit. We're not blind to the deep things of God. Maybe we've just never heard them before. But God is wrapping this up. We're at the end of the world, aren't we? And the Lord would have us stand before him holy and without spot or wrinkle, to stand before him in love. And I know the book of Revelation is written for the last generation church, because what you're seeing in the book of Revelation is an expression of what they are going to live through. In this podcast, we're going to bring that out step by step. But today, we're continuing from the last podcast, looking at this great apostasy that comes into the world, and recognizing in Paul's day it had already begun. And he says it's going to last until the second coming of Christ. So it's quite possible that people today, if they're not really Bible students, if they're not paying attention to what God is doing and what God is revealing, it's quite possible that some of us are in that apostasy now. The truth of the matter is, John said that we know it's the last time because there are antichrists and they went out from us. So this antichrist apostasy was an apostasy from the apostolic church. And it's going to continue to the end. So it's quite possible that some of us have been in that apostasy our whole lives and never saw it, because we were never taught anything different than the apostasy. So there are a couple of things that I want you to, let me just put it like this. In this podcast, you're going to be told the truth. And you're also going to realize that people who do not accept the truth, as we're going to read in the scripture, are carrying that spirit of Antichrist. So you're going to learn a truth. Maybe to some of us, it's brand new. You're going to see the truth, and you're going to realize that the people who believe the lie, who cannot accept that truth, they are the spirit of Antichrist. So if I could go back to 1 John chapter 2 and read something we covered in the last podcast, starting at verse 18, little children, it's the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist. This is how we know it's the last time. Now remember what Paul had wrote, there'll come an apostasy first, a falling away, then the man of sin will be revealed. So John is telling you the apostasy is happening. The apostasy is happening, and the man of sin will come. We already see it happening. The apostasy is already going on. So just bear with me as we read these verses. Verse 19. These antichrists, they went out from us, the apostles. John's an apostle. For him to say, well, they went out from us. The Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, is not in agreement with the apostles. the spirit of Antichrist walked away from the apostolic church, and we're going to read one of the reasons why that happened. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us if they were really part of it. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You, though, have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you, because of that anointing, you know all things. See, what these antichrists deny, you know it to be true. You have an anointing from the Holy One. You know all things. And I haven't written unto you because you don't know the truth. I've written to you because you do know it. And that no lie is of the truth. So what we're going to read here, the apostles were teaching what we're getting ready to read, and these people believed it. The people who didn't believe it walked away from the apostolic church and made a way for the Antichrist, or the man of sin, to come. Verse 22. Who is a liar? Well, he that denies Jesus is the anointed one. He's Antichrist that denies the Father and Son. So in the last podcast, I pointed out in 1 Corinthians 15 what Paul stated to be, the gospel. And it's not all of the gospel, but he goes, first of all. 1 Corinthians 15, let me just touch on this. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also was told. Christ died in behalf of our sins according to the scripture. So they realized Jesus was the Christ. And if you deny that, you're a liar. Well, these people didn't deny it. They believed it. The Antichrist people who eventually walked away from the church. So you have to be in the church to walk away from the church. So they believed Jesus was the Christ and that he died for our sins according to the scripture. They also believed he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen of the apostles, Peter, 500 brethren, so on. So they believed Jesus was the Christ. So they weren't liars. But John said they deny the Father and the Son. If you deny the Father and the Son, you're Antichrist. Well, how could they look at Jesus and say, well, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Christ. And he died for our sins and was buried and rose again. And then John, in 1 John, say, well, yeah, but they're Antichrist because they're denying the Father and the Son. Well, I want to read to you some verses and try to put this together, because what I'm going to read to you are verses just plain and simple. And if you want to deny it, you can. If you deny what we're reading, though, that is going to create bigger problems for you because you're not accepting what the Bible actually says. So let me begin just reading 1 Corinthians 8:6. To us, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And then there's one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman, well, that's the man. The head of Christ, though, is God. And Paul carries this concept all the way, if you'll go to chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, I want to read, starting at verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruit, he was raised from the dead. Afterward, they that are Christ, when he returns at his coming. Then will come the end, when he, Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet." And you remember Psalms 110, verse 1, "Jehovah said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I put all enemies under your feet." So Paul is using, he's writing about Psalms 110. But look again at what he says. Verse 24. "Then comes the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he's put all enemies under Christ's feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it's manifest that he is accepted, which put all things under his feet." In other words, for all things to be under the feet of Christ is everyone except the one who put all things under the feet of Christ. Verse 28. "And when all things are subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject to him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." If we could, before we read another verse, if we could just simply look at Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Does Jesus have a head? Well, God is his head. What about when the kingdom's delivered? Well, Jesus is subject to God. Well, Paul says in Ephesians 1:3 that God is the God and Father of Jesus. And there's one more we need to look at just to make this point in Colossians chapter 1. Starting at verse 12, "We give thanks to the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom, the Son, we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sin." The Son, verse 15, Colossians 1:15, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. Stop. Get the reasoning. Christ is the firstborn of every creature because he is the creator of everything. Could you say he is the firstborn of every creature if he wasn't born until Bethlehem? You couldn't say that. He's the firstborn of every creature, because by him were all things created. So he was born, and then he created all things. Christ alludes to this in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate said to Christ, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered and said, "Well, you say I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." When he came into the world, it was through Bethlehem. When he was born, it was in eternity. "For this reason was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." This is also found in the Gospel of John. If you look at John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." See, when the Son came into the world, he was already the Son. And that was what he told Pilate. "For this cause was I born, and for this reason came I into the world." What difference does this make? Because the apostles taught that Jesus was really the Son of God, born in eternity, and that God created all things through Jesus, Ephesians 3:9. But people who came into the apostolic church, who believed he was the Christ, who believed he died for their sins, who believed he was buried and rose and was seen, they couldn't take the next part of the story. He was born in eternity. He really is the Son of God. What difference does it make? Because God so loved the world, he gave them his Son. And if you can believe that and accept that Jesus, who is really the Son of God, then he brings with him the love of the Father. If he isn't the Son of God, and Antichrist will deny the Father and Son, then that Son you're believing is equal to the Father, and the Father then gave us nothing. If you can believe he's the Son of God, then greater is he that's in you than he that's in them, he that's in the world. Because the one Jesus that we believe and accept brings the love of God into your heart. Because he is the Son of God, and God is his Father, and was willing to let his Son die to save you. The truth is, Jesus is the Son of God. The truth is, people who deny that are the spirit of Antichrist. That's the truth. Again, if I look at 1 John, verse 22, "Who is a liar? Well, he that denies Jesus is Christ." Well, they don't. They believe they'll tell you he's Christ. He's Antichrist, though, that will deny the Father and Son. And whosoever denies the Son, he doesn't have the Father. See, it's important that we can grasp the significance of what all this means. Because in Matthew 24, Jesus gives us a warning. Matthew 24, verse 5, "Many shall come in my name, they'll say I'm Christ. And they're going to be deceiving you. That's the spirit of Antichrist. They say he's the Christ. Well, he died for your sins. Well, he was buried and rose. We believe all that. And you believe he was born in eternity? No. Because I've been taught the Trinity all my life. And if you say Jesus was born in eternity, you're taking away from him. You're degrading him. He is God. Well, yes, he is. I believe he's God too. I believe he was the God of Israel. But I also believe he was born in eternity. And I also know that equality with God was not something Jesus was seeking. He humbled himself and became a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and humbled himself unto death. So, again, understand, the Bible is very clear that Christ is the Son of God, born in eternity past. And that there was an apostasy that began in the days of the apostles. First of all, people were taught that the Christ died for sin, was buried and rose, and was seen. And people believed that. But it's what the apostles continued to teach that caused people to rebel and to say, he is not equal to God. He is the Son of God. And the Son of God died for your sin. The Son of God was raised by who? By God his Father. That there is one God, the Father. God is the head of Christ. Christ will be subject to him throughout all eternity. And Christ, well, he's the firstborn of every creature. Because he created every creature. He too was born. He too came into this world as a man, humbled himself, and died the death of the cross. And again, in 1 John, you got your spirit of Antichrist denying the Father and the Son. Which Son do they deny? They don't deny the Son born in Bethlehem. They deny the Son born in eternity past. And in so doing, in this denial, they are preaching, praying, and singing to a God that doesn't even exist. We have a God who loved us so much he gave us his Son. And he sent his Son into the world. And we refuse to let people take that away from us. Because that is an essential concept needed for your salvation. And that will come out too. And again, the book of Revelation is based on the concept that the apostasy began in the days of the apostles. And what you're seeing in the book of Revelation is how God brings his people out of the apostasy and gives them the truth. Next podcast, we're going to look at a second thing that Antichrist teaches according to John the Apostle. Heavenly Father, I know the words spoken here may be difficult, but I pray that people fall in love with you as they see the gift you have given us. and that we might receive this gift and be made whole and complete in the name of Jesus Christ. May you be forever glorified. Amen.